Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Dios le bendiga. God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. We're going to do that again. God is good. All the time. Amen. Amen. Good morning. It is so exciting to be here speaking about the mission of the church, about what God is calling us to missionally is one of my passions. And thank you very much to the Erickson Covenant Church, the Missions Committee, and to Tom and Chase for inviting me here this whole weekend. And I get to do this. Some days I wake up and I'm like, I get to do this. I get to talk about my favorite thing. Our denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada, has this long standing history with the ministry in Ecuador. And because of that, we've come to the understanding of the importance of going, of acting upon, of going out into these ministry opportunities. This morning, I'd like to unpack this idea of a missions trip, or rather what I call a ministry adventure. Because truth be told, that's what we do. We do ministry together, and it's always an adventure when we leave our home and go somewhere else. It's always an adventure. Ministry is the act of serving others and spreading the mission of Jesus Christ. Out of our love and out of our compassion for one another. And truth, and in that in itself, how can it not be an adventure? Over the years, I have been repeatedly asked, why go? Why go on a missions trip? Why go? Why should the church, why should Erickson Covenant Church support this? And I'm so glad that some of you are asking that question and wondering about that. And today, I hope to share some answers to these questions. Mission trips have been long recognized as an extraordinary way to make a meaningful difference within the world while experiencing personal growth and spiritual fulfillment. These journeys allow us to step out of our comfort zones and into this unfamiliar communities, offering assistance, but mostly offering hope and love. I like what Merge Ministry's philosophy behind these mission trips invites us into. And Merge Ministry is based out of the Chicago and is partners with the Evangelical Covenant Church. And what Merge Ministry is, it walks alongside individuals or groups that have a desire to go into the mission field, of a desire to go on a short-term missions or long-term missions. And we partner with Merge Ministry to walk alongside us when we go into Ecuador, as they organize all the details of the trip, putting in place such as meals, transportation, and lodging, and organizing the ministries that we partner with. So they go ahead of us months ahead, because all the planning starts months ahead, and they go ahead and they enter alongside the Santiago Partnership and our partnering church, Iglesia del Pacto Evangelico La Hermosa. They go into these two different partnerships we have, and they set up the ministries that we're going to go and work alongside. So their statement is this: the global church is inviting you to participate in what God is doing around the world. That's it. That's one reason anyway. We go so we can see, we can feel, and we can understand what God is doing around the world firsthand. You know, what this does, it enriches our own faith walk. As we leave our comfortable environment and we're invited to experience new things. You see, this global ministry opportunity that we're called into is not about what we bring to the table. It's about showing up and partnering with what God is already doing there, in and through the people of Ecuador. Whether it's in our locals, and I can expand this. God is already doing things right here in Erickson and Creston, the Creston Valley, I think it's called. God is already doing things here in your local ministries. You know, God is doing things right where you are living, you know, here and across the world. And that, my friends, changes us. The Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada is very intentional about our call to live out our lives in a missional way. The Bible passage about living out a missional life, you know, we read today in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of age. So some of the key points of the passage, go and make disciples. Jesus wants us followers that have been taught and equipped to go and make disciples, sharing the gospel, inviting people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. This isn't something for us to keep to ourselves. It is this invitation to go out in your community and around the world, to go and spread the good news. All nations, I love this one, all nations. This is the call to the mission is universal. The call to missions is universal, right? It's reaching people from all backgrounds, all cultures. This entails, this is that missionary mandate that we are called to go to the ends of the earth. In Acts 1 to 11, I spoke to this with the youth on Friday night. There is this, in that message there, it talks about Jesus is saying some very specific things here. You know, this Acts 1 to 11, Jesus knew that these were his last words before his ascension into heaven. And they were important. By the way, everything Jesus says is important. Everything that's read in your Bible is important. Then we take note of it. We actually pause. This is an invitation to pause. What is being said here? So this is what he says. We are to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. So what does this mean? He's saying we are to be witnesses right where we are, Jerusalem, because that's where they were, the disciples. They were in Jerusalem. Then he says in Judea, so a little bit further out. And then he places this commission. He's saying, well, now I want you to go one step further. I want you to go into Samaria and that was a dangerous commission for them. He's saying, go to places that scare you. Go to places that maybe you're not invited. Go to places that are hard. How many of us have people in our lives that are hard, that you wonder, how are you going to talk to them? How are you going to fix this relationship? They need to hear about who Jesus is too. Amen. And this is what Jesus is commanding us to. And when he says all nations, he says, don't just stay here. Staying here is good. And staying here and learning and discipling is good. But then use that for your community to build the kingdom of God within your community and then go out to all nations. And sometimes that's scary. And sometimes that's costly. And sometimes you need to leave your family. But it's for the kingdom of God. It's to further his message. It's to help people see who Jesus is. And I love that. Every year, I have the opportunity of going to Ecuador, and I have to leave my family. But my kids know I'm coming back. And my kids know that what I'm doing is important. And my kids understand that I am sharing who Jesus is around the world. And that is the best testimony and legacy we can leave our children. Amen? Amen. Oh, I love it. I get so excited about this. So then it says, teaching them to obey. What does this mean? A missional life involves discipleship, and we know that. Teaching people how to live according to Jesus, right? Teaching, how do we teach? By our actions, by our love for one another, by offering it to others. And it's through our actions that people are being drawn to Jesus. Teaching them to obey, aligning ourselves with what God's will is. This is what these, you know, go to all nations, teaching to go. You know, if you take the time to visit our website, the Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada, you can see under what we do, really clear, what we do section, and it's under the Serve Global Focus, and our mission statement, this is what it reads. We are the present day hands and feet of Jesus through partnerships, personnel, vision trips, a combination of relief and restoration. We want to serve the world as Jesus would. This is what you belong to. That is exciting. You are part of this tiny piece of a global picture of what the Evangelical Covenant Church is representing and wanting, a desire to be the present day hands and feet of Jesus. We have two focuses within our denomination, the regional partners and global personnel. Under the global personnel, the Evangelical Covenant Church has global personnel in over 20-some countries worldwide. And these workers are sent by the Evangelical Covenant Church and are committed to the goal of seeing more disciples in more populations in a more caring and just world. These include missionaries, as you know, so as your own Colleen in Argentina, who's from this area, from Nelson. Jeff and Darlene, who continues to partner in MENA, the Middle East. Jamie in Northern Asia, and Robert and Ray in the United Kingdom. Each of these personnels, the Canadian personnels, has an Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada roots and serves in different capacities for the kingdom of God under the Evangelical Covenant Church Serve Global. Under our regional partners, the Evangelical Covenant Church desire to see more followers of Jesus among more populations in a more caring and just world. In our global partnership around the world, we are committed to culturally relevant evangelism and the formation of communities of discipleship, disciples to spiritual formation and equipping God's people for ministry and leadership. And a transformational ministries that demonstrate the whole gospel by seeking to address the spiritual, the social, and emotional, and mental, and physical injustice needs of the people. These partners include MENA, our Middle East and North in Africa, Haiti, Kernels of Hope, Covenant Kids in Congo, and of course, Ecuador. Why Ecuador? For years, we have had a Bible school in Ecuador, and we also had supported our Canadian missionaries, Andy and Janelle Plume. They were our missionaries for years there. In Ecuador, close to 65% of children live in poverty. Almost 7,000, if not more, die each year due to poverty. And more than 1,500 beg on the streets for survival on any given day. Our continued global partnership with Ecuador involves an agreement that we had made over 8 years ago with the Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada and the Evangelical Covenant Church of Ecuador, which is called EPE. In particular, working alongside two different partnerships, one being the Santiago Partnership, which I'm a board member of, and also the Covenant Church in San Antonio. So we, as a denomination, have an agreement to partner with these two ministries that are already happening in Ecuador. We walk alongside them. We didn't do anything new. We opened our hearts and we surrendered to God and asked, where do you want us to walk alongside? And this is what transpired, these two beautiful partnerships. So why go? I want to share with you a quick summary. Well, I had a lot of reasons, but a quick summary, and I needed to narrow them down to a few. I think I have about 10. Why go? So I'm going to start first with the video that's just simply named Go.
In the Bible, there's a guy named Abraham, and the very first thing God says to him is go. Leave everything you've ever known. Go to an unknown and uncharted place. And I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. Go, Abraham. And then there's Moses. God meets him in the desert and speaks to him and says, go, Moses, go to the place you came from, to the people where you once were. Go, because I am sending you. Go and help my people find freedom and redemption. Go, Moses. And then there's Jeremiah, the prophet. He's young, he's inexperienced, he's afraid. And God says, go, Jeremiah. I'm with you. And then there's Elijah, Esther, Ezekiel, Ruth, and many others who heard the call of God to go, and they went. And then the final words of Jesus to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, go. I've heard it said that you can be comfortable or courageous, but you can't be both. That's true for Abraham, true for Moses, true for Jeremiah, true for you, and true for me. See, in the Bible, there are comforting words like forgiveness, freedom, and redemption, and adoption. But in the Bible, there are also commanding words like repent, believe, follow, and go. Maybe that's the words you need to hear today, to go. Go across the room, across the hall, go across the street, go across the campus, go across the city, the nation, go across the world, go. It's important for us to remember that this isn't just a command to go, this is an opportunity to bless and to bring hope and to be salt and to shine light in dark places and to give to others what was first given to us. You see, we don't just go because that's what good Christians do. We go because 2,000 years ago, God looked down on a broken and hopeless and hurting world. And he looked on with compassion. And then he looked at his son, his one and only son, the one and only person who could do anything about it. And he looked at him and he said, go. And he did. And he lived and he died and he rose and now he reigns. And now we go because he did it first. He moved from heaven to earth so that we could move from comfort to courage. And so that's my prayer for you. Not just that you would move to a new city with a new zip code, but that you would move from comfort to courage. That we would all move from complacency to urgency. My prayer for you is that the most beautiful thing in the world to you would not be cars, clothes, and careers, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, to know him and to make him known. And my prayer for you is that today you would put your yes on the table and you would leave it there to go wherever and whenever God leads you to go. And so I can't promise that it'll always be exciting, can't promise it'll always be easy, can't promise it'll always make sense, but I can promise you this, it will always be worth it.
The invitation is to go. The invitation is to live a life of choosing between comfort and courageous. When I first became a believer in my early 20s, I had a whole season, a whole life before Jesus. And when I found Jesus, I'm an all or nothing kind of a person. I'm all in. And then I started reading the scriptures and I came to James 1:22, where do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. So I'm reading all these passages about the broken and sharing the gospel. And I thought, if I can be healed, if I can be redeemed, if I can find Jesus with my past, I need to tell everyone about this, where I am planted and wherever God sends me. Is it easy? No. I have lost all sense of comfort in my world. I like my blow dryer, my hair, and it's done nails and all that. So then God sends me to countries where there's no electricity, or sends me to places like Poland in the middle of a war torn when the Ukraine war broke out. God impressed upon me, you need to go and serve on the border and minister to the women and babes that are coming off the bus. And I said, are you kidding me? There's stuff going on there. But I went. I stripped all the comfort away, and God kept me safe every time. God, the one song that we sang this morning, he will not fail. God has never failed me. I used to say, God has never failed me yet. I dropped that yet. God has never failed me. God will never fail you. If there's an impression upon you that you need to go do something big and bold for Jesus, I encourage you to listen to that. It is coming from the Spirit. And it will not leave you. You will live in a life of turmoil. Trust me, it will not leave you. So I want to share just a couple of reasons why go. First, to share the love of Jesus Christ. It's going on a trip is this unique opportunity to share a message in a new unique way. When we show up in Ecuador, we may not to the North American ideal, get accomplished what you think you're going to accomplish. But what happens there is people see that we showed up. People see that we are saying yes to this big trip. Yes to leaving family behind. Yes to sacrificing things and showing up and partnering and walking alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ecuador. We are sharing that love of Jesus. We have an opportunity to share that love, to share the teachings. I love that. Cultural exchange and understanding. What a better way to learn about a different culture and experience. I mean, we had last night a little bit of taste of the different food and some music. You know, think about that times 1,000, right? You get to smell and taste and eat every day something new and amazing. You get to see music in a different way, dance in a different way, the dress in a different way. You get to experience and learn so much from our brothers and sisters in Ecuador. Personal growth and character development. That goes without say. You get stretched in all kinds of ways, and I am there to help you along that stretching that week. By Wednesday, we're all falling apart because it's you're uncomfortable, you're trying to get the rhythm, you're meeting all these children and people, and you're the information and the work. By Wednesday, you're grieving and missing your family, and everyone's on, you know, draining the Wi-Fi in the hostel, and no one can get their families to say hi. But by Friday, no one wants to go home. There's a different kind of weeping because we kind of got over that hump, and there's this character development, and you spent time with Jesus, and you're understanding the heart of missions and sacrifice and going above and beyond. Lifelong friendships. I kid you not, the team that's put together is completely designed by God. And out of that, this beautiful covenant relationship happens from east to west. And then we meet at AGM, and we meet at retreats, and we meet at camps, and people stay connected and stay it's a beautiful relationship within the team and with the people of Ecuador. Discovering our purpose. I can't tell you how many times, and when we do these trips in the last 10 years that I've done them, or 15 years, engaging in missions helps to discover, reaffirm your life's purpose. There's just something about being removed from distraction of everyday and the everyday common things. It's not common. We do big things every day here. But everyday things that, you know, you kind of have a rhythm and you just, that it stops and you get on a plane and then you're in it, right? Like we go. And then, yeah, but we have time during the day to spend time with your maker and with Jesus. And we pray and we do devotions together. And it just becomes this real reaffirming call on your life. So many stories that come out of individuals that have come on these trips. You know, people have come back and the whole family has decided to go into full-time ministry. People have come back home and communities have been changed and engaged and different as the people come back, see life in a new way and they spread that. I just love that. Strengthen your faith. That goes without say. It does strengthen. We depend on one another. We depend on God to keep us safe. We depend on getting sick. It just, you pray all the time. It just strengthens your faith. Creating lasting memories. That's a given. To this day, people still come to me and remember the trips that they've gone on. The materialism fades away. This is often very a unique shift in people's perspective when they come back home. They see things in a different way, and they're angry. I do a lot of post kind of follow-up on the trips, and there's a lot of, like, anger of our waste and our vision here and our focus, and they're trying to enter back into that. And then you all of a sudden, the things that were so important aren't important anymore, and it just changes some of your shifts and what you're thinking. You learn to slow down. As much as the trip is rushed, as John and Kevin can attest to, you're going, 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 you do learn to slow down because we rush all to the construction site on the bus, and then we're waiting 2.5 hours before the construction starts because they're having buns, and then they're having a Coke, and then they need the material to come, and you get to just be together and learn to slow down. And the one key thing that I notice over and over again is you know, individuals that go on these missions trips or ministry adventures, research shows that you're more likely to continue volunteering and supporting missions after you go on a missions trip. And there's a pastor that shares this about his church that went on this trip. When you go on a missions trip and see the needs and opportunities around the world, it gets into your heart. When missions moves from mind to your heart, everything changes, including how you spend your time, your energy, and your resources. Because that's what these trips are about. In your mind, you can envision you're a people of faith, and you know that missions is important. But when you actually go, your heart changes. And now you've got this heart and head, you know, mind shift and change. And that's a big thing for the community to take on and go with. So these are some of the traditional whys, you know, why you would say yes to a ministry opportunity. I had asked former team members to send me some notes on why they said yes and why they would go and why they would go again. So I'm going to just read a few of the reflective ones. There's one in particular, and she talks about children, because her whole family went, her and her husband and her two kids, younger kids. I think it's important that our children learn to think outside of themselves and their community. I want to teach them to serve like my parents taught me. Our plan was to take them when they were 6 and 9, and so we'd be able to serve, but also to participate with the children in VBS and other children's activities. This was cool to see. At times, I don't think they realized they didn't even speak the same language. And that's what happened. They were just there talking and laughing and playing and speaking English and Spanish, and it was just wonderful. They didn't think they realized they spoke the same language. You're the same height as me, so we're friends. Basically, that's what was happening. You're about the same age. Let's go play. What I didn't expect was the heartbreak of my children when we had to say goodbye to a friend who they may never see again. How they can love so deeply someone they have known for essentially hours. 6 years later, when I asked the boys their thoughts, they don't remember many parts of the trip, what jobs they did and what we ate, where we slept, or the transportation we took. But they vividly remember some of the kids, and they often wonder about them. This particular family, every year I go, they send me a little note to that specific boy who comes to the VBS every year, and he looks forward to that exchange and the exchange of pictures and things like that. It's the continuing of relationships. That's the gift of these ministry opportunities. I've heard people say, and I'm going to speak more to this, I think, later, but I've heard people say, wouldn't it be better to just send the money that I'd spend on flights directly to the people we'd be serving? And I think that's an odd argument, she wrote. I don't think it's what you can do for the people and places you're going to serve. It's about joining alongside and experiencing their culture, meeting new friends, and tasting the local food. It's about what we read in Psalm 34. It's about the taste and see that the Lord is good in real life. If you can go, go. I don't think I've ever heard of a person regretting it. There's another individual that wrote in. An interest in mission trip often acknowledges both a deep sense that our Western lives are not what they seem, and a desire to encounter God and others in new ways. If you have such a stirring, pay attention. And if the time is right, sign up. Be prepared for the Lord to speak to you in surprising, challenging, and life-giving ways. And here's a little note from a teenager that went with her mom. It's interesting to go, and you can grow through it. While you're there, you can help people with their daily life and spiritual growth. And then her mom wrote, serving with others is stretching. Experiencing what life is like for the Christian church in other areas of the world gives valuable perspective. I enjoyed seeing a new place while serving alongside my teen daughter. I'd anticipated that it would broaden our view of what church and what ministry looked like, and it did. And another one, I've always wanted to go on a missions trip. This individual went with her son also. And I wanted to give my time and help and encourage. I wanted to grow deeper in my understanding of other cultures and the needs to grow deeper within my faith. And it did. It did. Now, I want to invite you to listen to why you should go from Esther, who works for the San Diego Partnership, and she also works for Merge Ministries. She's our Merge staff. And she's interviewing an uncle and one of the workers at the Casa Hogar, a home for at-risk children. There was two children that were brought into the home that were taken from their parents due to neglect. And the uncle speaks to this now. So I'd like to invite you to listen to that.
Buenos días con todos. Estamos con el señor Hernán. El señor Hernán ahora asume el cuidado de tres de nuestros niños que durante este año fueron reinsertados con su familia.
Good morning with everyone. We are with Mr. Hernán, and he has been in charge of take care three of his nieces and nephews that were part of the Casa Hogar.
Fue un trabajo bastante duro de toda su familia. Él junto con su esposa han asumido el cuidado y todo lo que ellos necesitan para poder reintegrarse a una familia.
It was a very hard work because he was working with his wife also to be able that these three kids could be reinserted to a familiar environment.
Y gracias a su apoyo pudimos darles una nueva oportunidad a nuestros tres niños.
Because of his support, we could give another opportunity, another chance to our kids.
La experiencia ha sido al inicio fue complicado, ¿no?
At the beginning, it was complex situation.
Porque junto con mi esposa nosotros estamos muchos años ya desde que nos comprometimos, desde que nos casamos, muchos años sin tener hijos. Entonces fue complicado al inicio porque apenas teníamos una niña nosotros y fue duro al inicio cuando ya se reinsertó para nosotros los tres chicos. Digamos, no estábamos en un ámbito acostumbrados a una familia amplia, pero a la vez el reto fue grande y a la vez bonito también. Gracias a Dios, pues hemos venido avanzando. Ya estamos casi un año con los chicos viviendo en nuestro hogar.
And since we received the kids at the house, it was very complex, hard situation, because when he got married with his wife, they were a long time without kids, having their own kids. And when the kids were reinserted, the nieces and nephews with them, they have a very small children, their own. And it was a very complex situation. It has been hard, but not impossible, to make all this dynamic working at the house.
De paso también hemos recibido un apoyo enorme, ¿no? De la Casa Hogar, de la Casa Hogar Santiago. Hemos recibido apoyo tanto de nuestra trabajadora social, de la psicóloga y de trabajo comunitario. Entonces esas ayudas también nos han, valga la redundancia, nos han ayudado a sobrellevar todas estas cosas mucho más fácil.
With all the support of the social worker, with the psychology, the community facilitator, it has been a huge support for us to overcome all the difficulties and hard situations to keep going as a family.
Sí, porque nos han guiado en todo aspecto, porque ellos de alguna manera en el tiempo que estaban los chicos acá en la Casa Hogar, les conocían de su comportamiento, de su conducta y de su autoestima de igual manera. Entonces, para nosotros fue validero todas estas cosas con las experiencias que ellos nos contaron cómo fueron los chicos cuando estaban aquí dentro de la Casa Hogar. Y esas cosas nos ayudó mucho para poder, de alguna manera, nosotros también buscar la forma de llegar y de entrar con ellos a poder ser una ayuda, más no un obstáculo en el crecimiento de ellos, tanto psicológico, familiar y académico.
All the support that we received from the home, it was like they were leading us, because when the kids were reinserted with us, they taught us about how to take care of them, how it was their behavior, how it was the dynamic in between siblings, and all these words of encouragement, support, all the instructions that they gave us. It was a huge blessing and a huge help that we could know how to deal with all the challenge that we were facing with the kids. And this is what we do with the Santiago Partnership. This is faith in action. We have the faith, and the goal of this house is that all the kids that we have here will be reinserted and appointed with their relatives, with a family that loves them. Please consider to support the Santiago Partnership today. In that way, you are supporting the Casa Hogar Santiago.
So a story, I know all three of them, I know the children, and when this young couple did get the three nieces and nephews, it was very difficult for them. Resources, financial, food, all of it, right? It's not easy to add just three children into your life, but the goal was they wanted to care for them, and the San Diego Partnership was able to walk alongside them, as you heard, and it is successful, and they're living together, the five children now. All the work, this is what we partner with. This is who we partner with. The Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada partners with the San Diego Partnership and continuing to do the work that God is doing there as we assist, walk alongside, and support. So there are many reasons why we should go. You can choose your own, a reason that I shared. You have your own reason, your own desire to support the larger denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada, to serve global partners, to develop your own, or you can develop your own reason why you should go. Whatever the reason may be, I just know that God calls us to it. One way or another, he's calling us into this missional life to go. God teaches us to be missional and serve others through passages in scripture, as we heard. In John 20, 21 and Matthew 28, you know, many verses in the Bible highlight the missionary call. And still we must remember that we engage in missions because Jesus commissioned his followers to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. In John 20, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Peace be with you. I am sending you. This emphasizes this verse, the mission of Jesus' followers, indicating that just as the Father sent Jesus, he's now sending us. Go. You know, in Matthew 28, as we heard, you know, Jesus appointed his people to carry the gospel worldwide. Furthermore, he exemplified service through his own actions, right? And in his humble act, he demonstrated that no task is too small or beneath us when it comes to serving others. You know, he lived out his life, his words saying, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. We go and we serve and we share the gospel, whether it be in our own neighbors or across the world. We are commissioned. We are meaning that we are charged, giving authority. Authority. You know, if we are to read the Bible, do not merely listen to the words and deceive yourselves. Go do them. We are commissioned. So when I read this, it's like, I'm taking this full on. I'm commissioned. This is why I go. I've been charged with this. I will not be silenced. I am charged with this to share the good news, to teach and equip, to lead for to further God's kingdom. So I go. And my invitation to you this morning, will you join me this November 14th to the 24th? I'm going to end with some pictures from our last trip. They're kind of self-explanatory. This is our team, so I'll just let the pictures go through. It's beautiful historical sites. Engage in. Our place that we stayed, our home for the week. We get to cook together, be together. It's a beautiful experience. This is the smaller kitchen up in San Antonio. What a beadwork with some of the children. This is all up in San Antonio. At the bakery that we just helped complete, the Canadian Conference teams the last 4 years have helped bake this little bakery in the church, by the church, to offer for the community. That's in the church background. The Kichuan women sharing a song with us. Just different ministry opportunities that we have together. This is the fun part, spending time making bannock and cooking over an open fire, baking cookies. This is the medical team. This is now the San Diego Partnership Medical Center at the center. This is the Forever Flowers Plantation. We have initiated a self-sustaining fundraising kind of initiative that we're able to sell roses and try to fund our San Diego Partnership Ministries. The women of Sumac, the jewelry that we see in the back is made by these women here in the efforts of helping them support themselves as they exit out of domestic violence relationships. And then the children taking them out to a dinosaur park. We had financial support through the conference and being able to take the children out. I think that's it. Our team from last year.
Thanks, Natasha. We have a little bit of time left. I'm going to hit you with some questions here. But before we do, I hope saw the pop-up market that is all geared around either helping raise some funds for those who might want to go this fall or being called to go this fall, as well as there's a table right up front that is specifically jewelry from the Sumac program, the women that have made that, and that has a little bit different way of paying. But please check out the pop-up market afterwards. It's all going toward Ecuador mission. We don't have too much more time. I want to hit you with a couple of questions. Here's the deal. Are you cynical? Is there any cynics among us yet, still? I hope not. But here's the truth. I want to ask the question, Natasha, and if you can just kind of give a fairly short answer to this. Some of these questions you've already heard her touch on and talk about, but I want to drill down on them a little bit more. And so one of them was, there are people still here, Natasha. In spite of how well you did, there are people still here who think, nah, I'll just give a few $100. Mm-hmm. That'll make me feel better. Okay. And it's better than going personally anyway. Okay. So the question is, isn't it better just to give money? Well, who wants these people down there? So isn't it better just to send money and just kind of feel good about that than go personally? Mm-hmm. Why would I go personally instead of just sending money?
That's a great question, and I want to affirm that both are needed.
These are very generous people, Natasha. So, they're all going to give a ton of money, so you know, I'm not worried with that part.
God does call us to live radically generous and hospitable lives, right? So I'm really great in donating, and but it's again about the heart and mind thing. There might be seasons where we just can't go. And it's just, you know, whatever it is, it's just physically, emotionally, whatever things are going on, we just can't get there. So, of course, sponsoring someone, supporting someone else to go, donating right through the Evangelical Covenant Church under Ecuador or right through the San Diego Partnership, all those are valuable good. But what happens when you go, it's going back to that in Psalm, that taste and see, because you're actually now experiencing something that is so different and uncomfortable that it just radically changes you. It honestly does. It's hard to explain, but it really does.
I think it's part of it, actually, Natasha, is realizing that there's you know, my little bit of a joke there about, you know, I'm just going to send some money and I don't have to go. But actually, I think I'm more concerned about there might be just in general a sense of like, we've got some people going to Ecuador, but... You know, why do a bunch of Ecuadorians want a bunch of Canadians showing up? Like, how does that actually help them? It takes thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for us to go down there. do the Ecuadorians, like, what does it do for them? Do they even want us showing up?
They do. What it does for each other, actually, but what it does for them is it gives, affirms to them that they are not alone. They are part of the Evangelical Covenant Church of Ecuador. So for the Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada to take time off work to, because they know it's costly. They know we're sacrificing different things. And for us to just show up and be with them, their radical hospitality, what they show us, what they feed us, how they want to invite us into their homes. It took almost 5, 6, 7 years for their homes to be opened up, and we can now, we have a relationship. So it's like seeing family. They are seeing family when we come there.
So, I love that. Yeah, thanks for that. I think that's really significant because there's still sometimes a lingering sense that short-term missions is just a glorified holiday.
Yeah. No, it's for, not.
You know.
Yeah.
I also know they find out it's not, right? Yeah. And that gets to
there was no electricity last year. Yeah. So there was like,
that gets to the character formation piece that you mentioned. In fact, I wanted you to just, we're going to wrap up here, but I wanted you just to drill down on that just a touch because there is something about traveling cross-culturally, not when you're going to a resort.
Yeah.
And not also, I might add, even when you're traveling cross-culturally, but you're kind of on your own, there's something different about being part of a team, serving, having to wait on others, all that kind of stuff, that really, can I say it, reveals certain things the Lord Jesus wants to grow in us.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Is
that a nice way to put it?
Oh, yeah.
Has a way of ripping off the mask of our immaturity and forcing us to deal with some things that, you know, Jesus says, oh, there's an area I would like you to grow in.
Yeah.
So how is it that growing, going cross-culturally in this kind of adventure and mission and connecting, how is it that it really grows us personally in terms of our spiritual maturity?
Well, like, I think you hit it on the nail. It does reveal a lot of things about ourselves that we together as a team work out. And spiritually, I don't know, you just come home changed. Mm-hmm. And everyone comes home changed differently. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how you're going to change or what's going to happen or how you're going to be transformed. But our journey with Jesus is a transformational journey, right? We are constantly changing. And this is just a piece, this invitation that we get to go on. Like, it's a beautiful, you know, right from the moment you leave your home and you get on that plane, the change starts. Trusting, obeying, being faithful, being flexible. There's a saying that we use in Merge, you need to be fat, flexible, approachable, and teachable. And that's a constant reminder. It's like, you know what we have planned today? None of it is going to happen. This is actually what we're going to do. And you could just see some people just starting to, they're just holding it all together. No, the why has this changed again? And we just work gently and graciously with each other, and it's really great. Yeah.
You're saying we want fat missionaries.
Yeah. Flexible approach.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Natasha.
Yeah.
Can we just pray now for the Santiago Partnership and our sister church there?
I
won't even try to say their name.
No, that's okay.
But our sister church there. Can we just pray for them? Mm-hmm. And who knows what the Lord is going to do? I think probably here today, a few people already are feeling the urge to merge and are going to be joining you this fall. So
wonderful.
Let's pray about that. Okay. Lord Jesus, we are grateful to you that you came. And we also are responsive to you and obedient to you that you tell us to go. And I pray today that as we consider our opportunity to partner and to go and to support and to send members of our community here down to our sisters and brothers in Ecuador, Lord Jesus, would you just lead us and guide us, provide for us financially to do that, help us to be reoriented more and more around your mission, what you are already doing, both through the Santiago Partnership as well as our sister church there. We just pray your blessing upon them today as they have gathered to worship and to serve. We just pray your blessing upon the pastors, upon the leaders, upon the men and women and children who are there in across all these ministries. I pray today that they would know that they are not forgotten, that we are partnering with them, and that there will be years and years ahead of fruitful partnership in the gospel. So would you bless them and encourage them today, protect them and provide for them, and lead us as the Erickson Covenant Church, as well as the Evangelical Church of Canada, as we lean more into your mission, as we simply show up and let you lead so that we can share your hope with the world. Bless Natasha, in her particular ministry, both as a chaplain in Camrose, but also as leading these trips and championing this partnership in Ecuador. Would you just bless her and encourage her? And we look forward to seeing all that you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.